This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on release of green steel taxonomy for India. The participants are Parth Kumar, expert on industrial decarbonization, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
India is committed to decarbonize the steel sector in alignment with net zero emission intensity target by 2070. To mark this as a historic milestone in India's journey towards low-emission steel, Shri H.D. Kumaraswamy, Union Minister of Steel and Heavy Industries, unveiled the taxonomy of green steel for India during an event held at Vigyan Bhavan today. India is the first nation to release the taxonomy of green steel. To discuss about this, we are joined by Parth Kumar, expert on industrial decarbonization. Welcome to Akashvani, Parth.
Thank you so much.
Can you explain what green steel taxonomy means and how it is defined in the global context of sustainable development?
If you look at the word taxonomy, taxonomy is basically defining what is green steel. And if you look at the definition of green steel, we do not have a singular definition of green steel around the world, because different countries have different resources and different conditions in which they are producing steel. So what has happened now is that the Indian government and the Ministry of Steel have come out with a definition of how they would define green steel in India. And largely, this definition has been defined on the basis of the GHG emissions that are produced while producing the steel. So that's how we are defining it. But of course, there's a lot of conversation around green steel across the globe, and different organizations are working on defining green steel in their particular locations or amongst particular entities.
What are the key components or criteria used to classify steel as green? And how does the taxonomy address carbon emissions throughout the steel production life cycle?
Currently, if you look at the definition of the green steel in the Indian context, how it has been defined, the basis is the GHG emissions emitted during the production of that steel. There was an active debate on whether there could be multiple factors defining, you know, there are environmental concerns, water concerns around production, but current definition only focuses on the GHG emissions happening during the production of the steel. And when you talk about how it addresses life cycle, so in steel production, whoever is using scrap, which is steel scrap, produces almost the least amount of emissions mostly, because that's the secondary route and you don't have to use the iron ore, and it produces the least amount of emissions. And by putting a target, so current definition is according to the ratings. They have given ratings like a 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. And the 5-star rating is when you emit 1.6 tons of GHG emissions per ton of finished steel or below, then you get a 5-star rating. And usually when you produce steel by using 100% scrap, you are well below this limit, and automatically you would be producing green steel as per the definition. So definitely the current definition does play out in the sense that it is promoting life cycle emissions of steel as well.
So how can the adoption of green steel taxonomy contribute to achieving global climate targets, such as those outlined in the Paris Agreement?
So as per the Paris Agreement, all countries have to declare their nationally determined contributions or NDCs. And this taxonomy is particularly for India, so it will definitely play a role in reducing emissions that India does towards the global emissions. And currently, the iron and steel sector emits or has a share of around 5 to 7% of the country's emissions, GHG emissions. So definitely, if this green steel gets implemented on the ground, there is enough demand for it, and production grows because of this, green steel production grows, definitely that will lead to some sort of emission reduction for India, and then, of course, consequently for the world as well.
And what is the potential impact of green steel on the global and local steel markets? Will it increase costs for consumers and industry?
Definitely. So green steel production, the technologies, the fuels required to attain a certain amount of emissions comes with a premium. And I think it will start with demand creation, and demand creation might come up first from government, large government entities, which are steel consumers, like the railways or big construction or infrastructure project developers. And if they will be the first movers, and probably they will have to face certain sort of a premium that will come along with green steel. But as the demand increases, there is a possibility that this premium will come down and the technologies and the fuels will become more affordable. So definitely there is a premium to producing green steel. And there is also a category here. There is 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, and that is for a purpose, so that you can start probably using a 3-star steel production, and then gradually as prices go lower and there is more demand, then you can move further up to producing lower emission steel.
And how does the taxonomy encourage innovation in steel production technologies, such as the use of hydrogen or renewable energy?
So by using hydrogen, or specifically green hydrogen or renewable energy, you substantially reduce emissions in the steel sector. Although renewable energy is quite cheap and readily available, but fuels like hydrogen are still much far away in that terms because they are expensive to produce. But definitely, if this gives this taxonomy, if the demand is created and there is a good price for it, it creates an incentive for steel producing companies to move towards using green hydrogen or renewable energy.
What role do government policies and incentives play in promoting the adoption of green steel taxonomy?
I think government policies play a huge role, because it's the government that lays down the first path in front of the industry. At times, you know, it could be the industry leading the way, but definitely when the government puts out a pathway or puts out the right set of policies, the path definitely faces an acceleration. And I think they also become the first movers in terms of initiatives which are very tough to take. For example, now the biggest challenge after the green taxonomy would be to create domestic demand for green steel. And for that, the government need to come up and do public procurement or mandate public procurement from big government departments consuming steel. So they have to be first movers. Similarly, it goes for technology adoption, fuel adoption. If there are pilots being set up by the government or with the support of the government, the private sector definitely gets more enthusiastic post that to take that up very quickly.
Are there any existing international standards or frameworks that India or other countries are aligning with to define and implement green steel?
As far as Indian green steel definition stands, I think it's a very of its own kind. But definitely there are efforts globally to standardize the methodologies, you know, of accounting emissions from steel, and different standards of quality, how they can be made similar, because it's a globally traded commodity as well. And similarly, they are trying how the emission methodologies can also be very similar across the world. So there's least disparity. But as I said, the definition of green steel in itself might differ. For example, India has natural gas, but it is very highly prized, or India doesn't have a very large quantum of steel scrap available, which might be a very different case in Europe, where the scrap availability is much higher, or gas is available at cheaper prices, or in the Middle East. So that's why these different geographies define their own green steel definitions. But definitely the methodologies, the standards, there is an effort by different organizations to standardize them.
How can developing countries balance the cost of transitioning to green steel with the economic and industrial goals?
Well, I think there are many avenues in terms of finance. The best case scenario would be when there is enough demand and the market has a good price for the green steel and somebody is ready to pay for that, like is the case in Europe, where there is rising demand on green steel, and we expect that similar could happen in India as well in the coming times. Then, of course, there is some kind of state support. For example, how it has come for the green hydrogen production in India, there has been some support provided for initiatives that will be taken for green hydrogen in the steel sector. So that could be something changing. Then, of course, there is international finance, which all the developing world awaits and we look forward to, which has been not as much as we had expected. And last but not the least, people also look towards market-based mechanisms and how they can produce some sort of finance for these kind of transitions. I feel this is a long-term vision for India, but in geographies like the European Union, I think there is certain finance in the carbon market, in the Modernization and Innovation Fund, which is being used for these kind of purposes. But as India develops its own carbon market, I think we can also in the future think of a fund of a similar kind that could support such initiatives.
Are there any challenges that the steel manufacturers face in transitioning to green steel production?
Definitely, there are a number of challenges. It's good that the government has moved out and put out a policy. Of course, it can have more ambition. But the thing is that there are challenges when you go on the ground. The fuel costs like hydrogen or biochar, which are being considered as the alternate fuels, is very high currently. There is this high cost of capital. So if you want finance, the cost is very high. Then, of course, the lack of economic viability or business case for a lot of solutions that are out there. And any industry would go ahead for a scalable green technology or higher scale green technology if it provides that sort of economic viability. And there is also the challenge of the comparatively smaller sector, like the sponge iron sector and the steel sector, which, of course, needs a lot of handholding, finance, technology support. And largely when you look at our industrial sectors, we are very much dependent on technology coming from beyond our country borders or from developed nations. And there is very less R&D and innovation happening in our own country for our solutions while we move towards decarbonization, which we definitely think should happen more.
And how can supply chains and end users of steel support the adoption of green steel practices?
So I think supply chains are a very important part. And one thing we need to understand that a lot of supply chain in certain production routes is still very informal in India. So the formalization of these kind of supply chains would definitely help, because by formalization, we would also have more data on supply chains. And then we can also bring in strategies for supply chains and how they can be decarbonized, and probably which comes under the scope 3 of emissions. And of course, then mandating the demand, that will also help. And considering embodied emissions, these kind of things will help, because, for example, if I am buying steel and I have to consider the embodied emissions of my project, I will definitely look at that, where that steel is coming from and how it has been produced. Otherwise, if I do not have any such mandate, that won't matter to me.
And what are the risks of greenwashing in the absence of stringent regulations or oversight?
I think the biggest risk of greenwashing lies in the idea of data. The data which we are gathering, the data which we are monitoring, the data which we are reporting has to be accurate, has to be reliable. So there have to be check mechanisms wherever the MRV or the monitoring, reporting and verification is happening for such kind of policies. Like the taxonomy for green steel has appointed NISST for providing the certificates and doing the MRV for the green steel. This has to be made very transparent and also very robust, so that any form of discrepancy doesn't happen at this level. And also a big part is there should be strict penalizations if any sort of disparity comes to light. I think data is the key, and how well it is monitored, how regularly it is monitored will really be the key, and how transparent it is to, you know, control any form of greenwashing happening in these kind of systems.
And how can green steel taxonomy help industries other than steel?
So just like steel is developing a certification system, the other sectors also have their different kind of certifications. For example, buildings have certain certifications which show that they are green buildings. And a lot of these certifications ask you to consider the embodied emissions, which means what emissions happened while producing the materials you are using while building this structure. The more these sectors have these kind of certifications that consider embodied emissions or scope 3 emissions, the more these kind of green taxonomies will help these sectors as well.
Thank you so much for being with Akashvani. It was great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on release of Green Steel Taxonomy for India. The participants were Parth Kumar, expert on industrial decarbonization, and Rajesh Lekh, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.